anybody out there?
Glory to God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Please open your Bibles. Happy New Year. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. Say, for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Say speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Praise God. Let's pray, please, just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. I pray, God, for the ministry of your word, oh God, to be effective in our hearts and minds. Everyone online, everyone in this place, everyone who hears this, according to your will, according to your purpose in our lives, oh God, use your word. Use me, your servant, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've run across this verse, this passage, frequently. I think someone recently preached about it. It might have been pastor, and there have been actually several references to it from this pulpit recently. I heard it on the radio, and I ran across it in my daily Bible reading. So it's like one of those things where I felt like God was trying to get my attention. And so I try to pay attention when that happens. How many of you were in the New Year's Eve service? I know a couple were. You get to hear this message twice. Amen. This passage is interpreted and applied in different ways, depending on the source, depending on what you read or who you hear. And sometimes we use it to explain to people that it's necessary to continually barrage God with our requests so that he will answer. Because that's what the unjust judge did. He wouldn't answer until that he got tired of hearing from this lady. He was so irritated by her that he's finally going to do something. I want to read from the Amplified Version, verses 7 and 8. Remember, Jesus said that God will avenge his own people speedily. While the unjust judge, it took a while. He wasn't interested even in answering. Luke 18:7 from the Amplified, and will not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Now that's important, that they are crying out to him day and night. Will he delay? Question. Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? Is that the kind of God we serve? I tell you, Jesus said, that he will defend and avenge them quickly. Amen. So this is not saying that God is like the unjust judge, that if we pray enough about something and we really irritate God, he's going to answer. God's not like that, Jesus said. He's not like the unjust. He said even though the unjust judge gives an answer, it's for the wrong reasons. He's a selfish judge. He's selfish because he is irritated and he wants the irritation to go away. He's selfish in the first place because he doesn't want to answer. But our God is not selfish. Our God loves us. He cares for us. He's waiting on us. I tell you, Jesus said, he will avenge his own speedily. Speedily. I'm going to go on a little detour, maybe. Apparently, it may seem like a detour, but it's really about this parable, this passage. Look at Acts 12, verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. This is talking about Peter. He's been thrown in prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Same word there. Rise, get up quickly. Now, if I'm in prison, and God comes in and releases the chains from my hand, I'm not hanging around. Okay? Quickly means I'm out of here. I'm going. And that's the word that Jesus used. Acts 22:18 says this. And he saw him saying unto me, this is a vision. Paul saw the Lord, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Jesus is warning Paul that they're going to kill him. They want to kill you. Get up and get out of Jerusalem. I think I'll hang around a little bit. They let him out in a basket over the wall. That's how urgent it was. Speedily, quickly, I'm getting out of here. Shortly, I'm not waiting. Same word is used in Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, these are some of Paul's final words in the book of Romans. But this time the phrase, that term, it's a little less precise. It's going to happen shortly. It's like when the child comes to the parent and says, when are we leaving? And the parent says, in a little while. What does that mean? Are we there yet? Soon. He will come shortly. It's less definite. It's a promise from God through Paul, but it's still a promise. And God always keeps his promises. But there's no time limit. There's no way to measure this necessarily. And that's what we like. We like to have, we order something on Amazon and we look and we see when it's supposed to arrive. Especially if we have problems with porch pirates. I'm not sure how this promise worked out. I'm not sure what exactly Paul meant that the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He said that's obviously a reference to God is going to give you victory over the enemy. But in what sense and how and when, it's not... I'm not sure how it worked out. I'm not sure when or how this promise was fulfilled. But it's the same word, and it has a different context. And now for the same term used in a very different context. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's referring to the whole book of Revelation. These things shall shortly come to pass. Now, we can have a long discussion about, the book of Revelation and pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib and when everything takes place. But I'm pretty sure that all of the things that are in the book of Revelation have not come to pass yet. Now, maybe that they shortly began, not long after this revelation came to John, but the Bible says that they will come to pass shortly. So that's a whole different context. And I believe every word contained in the book. So we have to understand this this terminology, that's the beginning of the book of Revelation, and it ends in chapter 22 with these two verses, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must be shortly done, at the beginning and the end. Behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Praise God. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Well, I really hope the rapture hasn't happened yet. And I'm pretty sure it hasn't because you're all here. So, what? He's coming quickly. But he's not here yet. Almost 2,000 years ago, this statement was made. We are beginning the year 2022. We know that because that's what our calendar says. And we have followed our calendar, all of us probably, for all of our lives. We've known when we were very young children when Christmas was coming. And we were made aware when New Year's Day was. We're starting a new year. We become accustomed to the calendar that we use. We're very much structured by the days and the weeks and the months on our calendar. We respond to the seasons, however, but if our calendar was really the thing that measured time, then we should have had today's weather on December 21st. I don't mind that we didn't, but we were teasing Sister Abby because she's from Minnesota and she's happy now that we have cold and snow. But birthdays, we all know when our birthday is, right? Because it's on the calendar. We know what day, what month. We track our holidays. We're this calendar system that we have. We measure time differently than God. God says shortly. God says quickly. And we think like, you know, half hour. Tomorrow. I mean, Amazon can get a package here from California in 2 days. We measure time by fashions. This is one of my last favorite thick, wide ties that I'm going to have to get rid of because it's 2022 now. But I like this tie. Plain. Perfect. We measure time so differently than God. It may be better to say that we really are affected differently by time. I guess I'm not given the title. I want to talk about time relative to God. Time relative to God. Peter said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Now, some people make that an equation. They go into the Bible and they see the word day and they say that means there's 1,000 years there in prophetic time. I don't think that was Peter's intention. If you're a Bible scholar, you can differ, and obviously many do. But I don't see an exact equation there because historically it hasn't worked out that way necessarily. I think that generally speaking, there are some relationships between 1,000 years and a day with the Lord. But in fact, I think what Peter was saying was this, is that you might as well count a day, or you might as well count 1,000 years to God. It doesn't matter. Because that's our time frame. He's not limited by that. And I want to prove that. I want to show that. You know, Abraham waited 25 years to receive the promise of Isaiah. 25 years. That seems like a long time. Doesn't seem like such a long time anymore at 63. 25 years seems like a short time. Jacob waited 14 years for the girl of his dreams. How many of you have waited that long? Israel waited 40 years in the wilderness. They all waited for a promise. God's promises, the scripture says, are yea and amen. But his time frame is different. He uses terms like speedily, shortly, quickly. But it's hard for us to put a time limit on God. As a matter of fact, we're foolish if we try to put a time frame on God. But nonetheless, God gave us time. He gave it to us. Genesis 1:14 says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be signs and for seasons and for days and years. Right there's your calendar. And let them in your seasons. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Amen. That's the beginning of time on this earth. And God gave it, the Bible says. He gave it to us. Just like the scripture says, on the seventh day, God rested. Now, God didn't need to rest. But Jesus said that God gave us the Sabbath for our sake. So he gave us time so that we can use it, so it will be helpful to us, so we can understand this creation that he's given us. It's a gift from God, but nonetheless, he is not bound by it. He's the creator of time. Today is so significant, this weekend, if I can say that, because we're beginning a new year. Our calendar tells us that we are in 2022. Now, I've heard a lot of conversation about how bad 2020 was and how bad 2021 was, how we hope that 2021 will be better than 2020, and somehow 2022 is going to be different. Like, yesterday, because yesterday was the first day of 2022, everything changes. Really? Did it? Archaeologists have reconstructed methods of timekeeping that go back to prehistoric times. Calendars have been used as schemes to measure the seasons and the days for as long as we have records in history. The Sumerians had a calendar, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Elamites, the Mayans had one of the most accurate calendars. The Native American tribes had ways of measuring time. Number of calendar systems in the ancient Near East appear as far back as the Iron Age, based on the Assyrian and Babylonian calendars. Most of these calendars were based on the sun and the moon. And of course, in reality, that's what we have tried to do with our calendar. Our calendar is known as the Gregorian calendar, but its roots go all the way back to 700 BC, 753. And that was Romulus came up with a calendar, but he only had 10 months. I didn't know this. I found this out. There were 10 months in the Romulan calendar, but they didn't have any months for the winter season. He was in denial about winter like me. Those 10 months, of course, that's where we get, September is the seventh month. Not in our calendar, but in that calendar it was. October the 8th month, November the 9th month, December the 10th month. those prefixes. And no months for winter, as if somehow we can make winter go away by not giving it a month. Then there came a revision to that a little bit later, and that calendar had 13 months. But it still only totaled 355 days. So after a number of years, the end of the year came months before it did 10 years ago, because they were losing 10 days every year that their calendar was in place. What my point is this, is that we measure time, but we're imperfect. We think somehow this gives us a handle on things, like a new year, everything's going to be different. And then, of course, the Julian calendar came along 12 months, and the Gregorian calendar was a correction of that. And we're trapped, maybe. We're dependent, maybe is a better word. We're dependent on this structure, this framework of time. We use it to fool ourselves into thinking that somehow we're in control. But we must rely. This is a system. God has given us the seasons. We have to be aware of it. We have to somehow recognize it, because God has given it to us. Days and seasons and times, the scripture says. But life doesn't really go that way, does it? It doesn't work by the calendar. It doesn't really. Have you ever noticed that some 16-year-olds are more mature than some of the 30-year-olds, Present company accepted, of course. And there are some 16-year-olds that you tremble when you think about them having a driver's license. They are now in control of several tons of metal, rubber, and plastic that will be careening down the road at 70-plus miles an hour. So age and time, they're relative. I've recently had several conversations. You get to the end of the year and you have these conversations with people about how time speeds up when we get older. I used to think that was funny when I was younger. It's not funny anymore. According to science, time is relative. Time is relative. That more than just our perception of time as we get older, this concept is part of the theory of relativity that Einstein came up with, that the whole nuclear science world is based upon this one understanding, that time is relative, that time changes. The faster you go, according to the theory of relativity, the closer you get to the speed of light, the faster you go, the more time slows down. I've read about this, I've heard about this, I've seen it explained, but I still can't completely wrap my head around it. But it's a phenomena that they have measured and identified, that anybody ever see Back to the Future? I don't think that's accurate either, but the faster you go, so I'm at point A, and I'm at point, and point B is over there, and when I get from point A to point B, there is a passage of time. I'm passing through space in time. So time and space are related. But somehow, if I go there faster, time is slowing down. And the longer the distance, the more this becomes evident, and the faster you go, the closer we get to the speed of light, the more this phenomena is evident. So, and the theory is that if we ever reach the speed of light, it may be that time stands still. That you've frozen time. Well, okay, I'm at point A. I want to get to point B. Time has to pass for me to get there because I'm passing through space. But you know what? God's already there. I'm at point A. He's at. If the speed of light is where time slows down to, guess what? God is light. Time has no effect on him. He's already at point B. He's there waiting for me. He's at point A when I start. And I say, Lord, keep me safe as I travel. He said, yeah, okay, I'm there. I'm already at the destination. I'm with you all the way. I'm everywhere all the time. Time does not affect him. He's not limited by time. It's relative to us. But relative to God, it has no effect on him. God is light. Luke said that he will answer speedily, quickly. God is everywhere all the time so that he knows in the future, because time and space, when you travel through space, time passes and he's already there. Even though time has passed, he's there when you speak it. Time stops for him. It doesn't exist. He's not confined to it. He is not measured. Listen to this. God's work, God's answer, God's moving is not measured by time. Any direct work of God, any manifestation of God's presence is an intrusion, if I can use that word, is an insertion into time and space. God's coming from eternity, which is limitless, and he fills it, and he's reaching into time and space, if I can say that, to answer our prayer, to minister to us, to draw us near to him. So anytime we feel the presence of God, it's because God has chosen to manifest himself in time and space. Anytime God does a work. See, we pray and we get the mindset that this is the difference between a healing, I think, and a miracle. Because God can take the natural processes of healing and speed it up. And you can recover in a day when naturally it would have taken you a month or a week. And that's, God's just cranking the process up. He's taking time and he's manipulating it. He's reaching his hand in and saying, you know how you get that little thing on the bar at the bottom of a video on your computer and you can put your cursor on it and just move it forward. Now you're at the end of the video. God can do that with time. He can do that with your sickness. He can do that with your need. He can speed things up. He can answer your prayer quicker than you would expect. But then the other thing is that sometimes God just reaches into time and says, okay, now. And that's a miracle. He skips the whole process. He says, right now, boom, I'm taking this thing from what would have happened up here, and I'm put it right here, right now. Boom. Miracle. God's time is different than our time. He will answer speedily. He'll answer speedily. Praise God. You see, in our mind, we think linearly. We can't help it. We're in time. We're waiting for time to pass. We're looking for the answer to come. We're hoping that it's going to arrive. But the moment, here's the thing. The moment when the time is right, the moment when our time reaches the right time, the moment when the circumstances that we are in the right place, that's where the answer is. The Bible says that when the fullness of time was come, Jesus Christ came into the world, born of a woman made under the law. But it also says that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God had already created a plan. He was already sending us a Savior even before Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He will answer speedily. It's just that it wasn't time for the Messiah to come until 6 BC or 4 BC or wherever it was. And again, there's that calendar thing. We tried to measure it. We can't figure out exactly when Jesus was born because we've had so many calendars, but it was right on time as far as Jesus was concerned. When the fullness of time comes, then God acts. He's not waiting. Here's the thing. He's not like the unjust judge waiting, sitting in heaven. You prayed. You've been praying for a week. You've been praying for a month. You've been praying for 2 months. You've been praying. And the whole time God's sitting, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, nice. I like that. Oh, yeah, you cried a lot there. That was good. You had a bunch of people pray with you. That's good. Like, he's not grading our prayers, waiting for them to reach a certain point. 98%, yes, now I'm going to answer. That's the unjust judge. That's not my God. He will answer speedily. This is what's happening. Where I'm at point A, I'm praying, oh God, I really need this. God says, right, he's outside of time. I'm at point A. He's saying, okay, all of this has to take place. I'll bring this over here and bring this over here and this over here and this over here. This is where it's going to come together. I'm already working on it, God said. The moment you pray, the instant that you present your need to me, I've already got a plan. I'm answering speedily. It's just that you have to catch up to my answer in time. And if we're not praying, if we're not seeking God, if we're not crying out day and night, like he said, when we get to point B, and God's done everything that he wanted to do, and we're not sensitive, we're not listening, we're not responding, we go right past our answer. So we're not praying day and night to convince God. God, do what I want. 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 We're praying day and night. God, help me to do your will. God, help me to do your will. Help me to do your will. So that when I get to point B, my prayers are answered and I know it, I see it, and I can react to the presence of God. Praise God. This is a contrast between the unjust judge and a righteous God. The judge waits and delays for selfish reasons. The judge finally answers for selfish reasons. But God answers speedily. Right now, God's answering our prayer. When we pray with faith, when we pray according to his will, when we pray according to his word, God's answers are always for our best interest. He's not making us wait. Sometimes I think we can show in the Bible that God tested people's faith. I think that's something you can show in the scripture. But that's an individual thing for certain circumstances, as far as I can tell. But his nature is, even when he's testing, he's already answering. He's already answering speedily. He's waiting for the fullness of time, that's all. He's not waiting. Time is waiting to fulfill what's needed. Time has to catch up to his will. Time has to catch up to his work, his hand. He's already moving in time. Isaiah said that they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait there, that means get entangled in. Get caught up in. That's what we're talking about. Crying unto God day and night. Getting closer to God. Seeking His presence. Seeking His voice. Trying to do His will every day. If you wait on the Lord, that's what John 15 is talking about, those that abide in Him. It's that daily relationship with God, so that when we pray, we know that He's already acting, and that when we get to point B in time, He has an answer prepared for us if only we're sensitive and open to His will. Hallelujah. Paul said that Jesus was born when the fullness of time, and Jesus, when He performed His first miracle at Cana, Mary came to Him and said, you know, hey, they're out of wine. And Jesus said, Mom, you know how teenagers say sometimes, He wasn't a teenager, but you know how it is, Mom, it's not time yet. I don't believe He was disrespectful. If you look into that, it was a term of endearment. But He was also letting His mother know that you're kind of out of your bailiwick there. This is not something you should be deciding. This is a different thing here. When I start performing miracles, is not dependent on the circumstances of time. But nonetheless, and I can't prove this, but I think that because Mary was expressing such great faith, and because Mary was so faithful to God, having been through all that she had been through, that God reached into time and did something that wasn't necessarily in His plan. I mean, we know that God knows the end from the beginning. We know that but this is something that was not part of the schedule, I think. But God did it because of her great faith. Because He answers speedily. And they needed it now. And Jesus answered the prayer. God revealed Himself in that moment. Praise God. God answered speedily. Jesus told Herod in Luke 13. Luke 13:31 says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto Him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. This is Jesus. And He said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. You know, it's like saying President Biden or President Trump, pick your president, President Obama, President Reagan. The president has his Secret Service agents out, and they're looking to kill you. And Jesus said, I'm not bound by time here. I'm not worried about Herod. Go tell that fox. I cast out devils. I do cures today and tomorrow. I'm on God's time. And the third day, I'll be perfected. This is all according to God's schedule, according to God's plan. Nevertheless, He said, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. That a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So Jesus was saying, God's in control. Herod thinks He's in control. The people in Washington think they're in control. The people in the United Nations think they're in control. But God has a plan. God is not limited by our time. That's why we're still wondering why in the early days the church was saying Jesus is coming quickly, and here we are in 2022 and He hasn't returned yet. But that's all right, because He's already come. We just have to catch up to that day when He returns. He's not limited by time. Look at Lazarus' resurrection. A certain man was sick, John 11, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, sister Martha. Verse 9. Jump down. Jesus, He has this conversation with his disciples. And they said, we ought to go if Lazarus is sick. And Jesus said, just hold on. I know what I'm doing. And he waited. And then they got word that he had to go there. And as he was on his way there, days later, messenger met him and said, Lazarus is dead. They were upset because he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Bethany. He was going to Lazarus' house. The disciples said, why are you going? And Jesus answered in verse 9, are there not 12 hours in a day? This same theme goes all the way back to Genesis, where we read that he created light and darkness, day and night. The same theme repeats itself throughout the scripture. God's in control of the day and the night, and we want to walk in the light, walk in the day, because that's where God's doing a work. We walk in his will. We start at point A. We stay in the light. We stay in the day. We walk with Jesus, and we get to point B, and we receive our prayer. We receive our answer. Walk in the light and have fellowship with him. If a man walk in the night, verse 10, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. The world does not understand. That's why we should not be afraid. We don't like the things that are happening around us. They cause pain. They cause fear even. But we know that God is in control. These things, said he, and after he saith them, he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. We know that they said, well, if he's asleep, that's good. That means he's resting. And Jesus said, you know, you're not getting it. He's dead. But I'm already there. I'm going to raise him up. There's a resurrection coming. I believe that part of the reason that Jesus did that was because he wanted his disciples to see a resurrection so that the short time later when he was raised from the dead, they would recognize he did it again because he's not bound by the rules and the laws of time. His timing is always best. Let's stand. God has heard every prayer that we have prayed. Every child of God who prays with faith, that prayer has reached God's ears. He has heard it. He's aware of every situation of every life in this room, in everyone who hears this message. He's aware of every need. The Bible says he knows our need before we pray. Listen, God was not fazed by 2020. He was not bothered by 2021, and he's not worried about 2022, because he's already there. He's got an answer for you. He's got an answer for me. It may be on January 15th. It may be that he's there waiting for us to receive it. It may be on May 5th. It may be August 13th. But he's already there because he's everywhere all the time. He's not limited by time. He's the one that was, the one that is, the one that always will be. Whatever your need, whatever your prayer, whatever you're seeking God for, there are people here, probably all of us have at least one thing that we've been praying about for some time. Or maybe something we've just started praying about and it's heavy on our heart. But if we have talked to God about it, he has heard our prayer and he has begun. He has answered speedily. We just haven't seen the answer yet. He will act speedily. We just have to catch up to his answer. And we must be ready through obedience to hear his voice, to respond to his presence, to recognize this, make plans, set goals. Yes, we should do those things. Because God has given us time, and we should use it as stewards. Pray for a better year, yes. But remember, walk in the light. Walk in the light and wait on the Lord. His answer is there. God bless you. If you have children, If you have children, please make sure that you go and get them. We're running a few minutes late. We have about 10 minutes before we start the next session. God bless you. Anything you want to add, Pastor? We're dismissed in Jesus' name.